is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening on this sad and unsettling day for any journalist who's entered a war zone to report for the United States or anyone else in the world. Today, President Obama wanted to keep the focus on Ukraine, NATO, and Russia during his visit to Estonia, but it was not to be. He took time here during his news conference to pay tribute to slain journalist Stephen Sutloff.
Whatever these murderers think they'll achieve by killing innocent Americans like Stephen, they have already failed. They failed because, like people around the world, Americans are repulsed by their barbarism. We will not be intimidated. Their horrific acts only unite us as a country and stiffen our resolve to take the fight against these terrorists. And those who make the mistake of harming Americans will learn that we will not forget and that our reach is long and that justice will be served.
President Obama speaking today from Estonia about another video from the Islamic State. Another presidential reaction, a video which mentioned President Obama repeatedly by name in a kind of playground taunt, showing images of his vacation in Martha's Vineyard in a propaganda play that seemed to be an emblem of the internet age. But what now? U.S. journalist Stephen Sutloff is dead. The global focus is on the nasty British-accented Jihad John, who has apparently carried out both of these killings, Foley and now Sutloff. Sutloff was remembered today as a sincere, hardworking journalist who wrote for Time magazine, the Christian Science Monitor, and Foreign Policy. He vanished in Syria in August of 2013. So now what? Gary Sick is a senior research scholar at Columbia University. He served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan and was the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. Gary Sick, welcome back to The Takeaway.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, John.
Can you glean any sense of strategy and method here in this Islamic State approach to the United States and the West right now?
Well, I think we've learned several things about this organization. First, it doesn't resemble in any way, say, the hostage takers in Iran or the hostage takers in Lebanon or even the Palestinians, all of whom wanted to use the hostages for leverage. And in this case, they've given away their leverage. They've killed their hostage, and it means that they're more interested in shock, the pure shock value. And basically, you know, what terrorists do, the reason they have their name, is they strike terror. And I think that's what they're after. They really want to frighten people and intimidate people. And unfortunately, unfortunately, somebody is paid with their life, and that's a horrible situation. But the reality is their system isn't working, that basically they're making decisions in a sort of apocalyptic way, and in fact is having exactly the reverse effect.
Well, I'm sure you share my thoughts of condolences that go out to the Sutloff family, yet without commenting on the morality of the human race, I mean, at a time like this, as these brutal videos accumulate, this shock value that you're talking about has to go down on some level. And, you know, America joins the rest of the world where in most places, the idea of terrorism is much more familiar than it is here in our country.
The thing about taking hostages is that it is a very personal act. And it actually, they're right, in fact, to focus on Obama because the president of the United States is a human being. And he feels a great deal of responsibility for other Americans. And by basically attacking him personally, they are basically saying, we don't care about you guys. We aren't interested in dealing with you. We're simply going to ignore you and we're going to kill you. And that is it's a very powerful message. They really, unfortunately, truly, fortunately, don't have the power to back that up. And I think that is the key issue here.
You know, this is such a grim conversation, but I'm thinking back a few weeks to the downing of the Malaysian jet in Ukraine. I mean, that was seen as such a horrible escalation of the conflict, yet it's almost vanished in the noise of what's gone on here. As you remember the 444 days of the Iranian hostage crisis, was there a period when the length of time the hostages was being held diminished their value, diminished the negotiating power of the Iranians on some level? Could you see an end game?
The longer it went on, the more effect it had on the American people. This is something that was played out nightly on American TV. This was actually the hostage crisis in Iran was the first televised U.S. foreign policy crisis. And it played out on live television every night. That kept it alive. That actually kept that in front of people's minds. And so you had yellow ribbons being tied to trees all over the United States. It didn't lose its effect. And again, it's because it is such a personal thing. These are human beings, very specific named human beings. It's not a group of people being killed in some odd place. You know these people. You learn their stories. And for that reason, it does have a tremendous amount of power. There's no two ways about it.
As you look at what's transpired over the last 2 weeks, is the Islamic State committing acts of desperation, or is there some sort of escalation going on here that leads somewhere?
I think they're in a different zone. They believe what they're saying. And that is, we've run into this with people who are truly fanatics in a variety of places. And that scares people because they lose their humanity. They basically are willing to commit suicide, if necessary, literally, to make a point. And I think that's what they're doing. But it's our job to assist them in that process. If they're going to destroy themselves, I think we have every reason to try to make that as easy as possible for them. And I think that's, in fact, the way that is the end game. That's where it's going.
But revenge and explicit acts of retribution, targeting, for instance, this Jihad John fellow, that would be a mistake strategically?
Well, I think there's a short term and a long term. The short term, if you could get that guy and bring him to justice, I think that would be a marvelous thing. It's very unlikely to be able to get your hands on him. But the longer term one is to put together an effective coalition, because what ISIS is doing is bringing together people like Iran and Saudi Arabia, who normally don't even talk to each other, or the two different sides or multiple sides in the Iraqi government. Those people now see ISIS as a threat beyond anything that they saw before, and suddenly they're prepared to cooperate with each other. And I think that it's a moment for us to act as a sort of facilitator to bring that together, to in fact provide a multiple coalition to squeeze these guys, to close off their access to the rest of the world, and to put them under pressure.
There's a takeaway from Gary Six, senior research scholar at Columbia University. He served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. Gary Six, thanks as always.
It was a real pleasure, John.